Hola mujeres, this is Morena Tan Mala. I am your pionera and host. This is Mujer No Te Rajes. This episode is called Rebirth Post Breakup, and it's a continuation on unhealthy relationships or just relationships in a general sense. In the last episode that we discussed relationships, we discussed unhealthy behavior patterns and red flags that can lead to, you know, making the decision to break up. And in this episode, we're going to be discussing the actual action of breaking up and executing that. It can be very difficult to muster the words, the intention, the action of breaking up. And so this is intended to help you make that decision and kind of just inform you on kind of like a system that you will need to have going to make this transition easier for you. And then also the second part of this discussion is talking about the rebirth, is what I call it, when we come face to face with the loss of an identity, because we tend to merge with our partners, especially after being in a long-term relationship. In the process of merging, we tend to lose sight of who we are as individuals. And so in the breakup process, we come, as I mentioned, face to face with the rebirth of who we will now be, because a lot of the times, well, most of the time, we don't go back to who we were. We have evolved, we have changed, and so it's up to us to create this new version of ourselves, hopefully a better one, a stronger one. And so again, I call that the rebirth. Bueno, primero, para empezar, vamos a abrir with that conversation on how to break up. How do you set the intention, the words, the action? It's so hard to terminate a relationship after being in a long-term relationship, even a short relationship. How do you communicate that that relationship is no longer serving you? We see breakups, and I mean, you can't control the other person's reaction, but you can. You can control what you're saying, right? And so a lot of the times, it doesn't have to be like, you know, a lot of people wait to find excuses to break up with their partner. They wait for them to make a mistake so that they can basically extort that and say, oh, you know, flip the script and say, oh, it's because you did this or because you did that. When in reality, it's that that relationship is no longer serving us, or maybe we're not ready to be in that relationship. I think it's really, really important to be forthcoming and honest, because you might be leaving a door, an opportunity with that person, right? Something that maybe this is the person that you want to be with, but you're just not ready. It's not serving you as it should. And so you leave on good terms, and the way that you're going to do that is by being honest. Or maybe you just want to have a friendship with this person, and if you choose to respect them and honor them by being honest with them, then you can perhaps save that friendship. So I would suggest to first reflect, be very, very honest with yourself, have a moment where you really check in and see if this relationship is really something that you want. If there have been signs and behaviors of unhealthy patterns, then, you know, you have to decide that you deserve better, and at some point determine that you can't save this person and that they can't save you. And if you need to do some growing, then it's best to be a little bit selfless and walk out of that relationship to, again, perhaps preserve the friendship, or just simply to honor them and allow them to grow without you holding them back or without them holding you back. And so I think it starts with making the decision, setting the intention that you deserve better and that you are going to give yourself better and that they deserve better, right? Sadly, sometimes it falls on one person to make that decision, because some individuals are comfortable and they would rather be in a comfortable situation, even if it stops them from evolving, rather than going through the growing pains of leaving the relationship and then, you know, having to evolve on their own. So if you find yourself making that decision, being the one, understand that yes, it's going to be a very, very hard decision to make. It's going to be a very hard process to endure, but it will be worth it. It will be worth it for you and for them if both of you take that that process and that experience as one to grow from and to learn from. Secondly, important is to, if you do go ahead and decide to have that conversation about breaking up, and you do so with somebody hopefully who can hold a civil and adult-like conversation, you know, hopefully you can discuss boundaries so that you do not end up going back to the relationship, because it can be easily become this like routine of breaking up and getting back together. And so it has to become very clear that during the time, especially in the beginning of the breakup, that you make it clear that you are not to see each other and you're not to have conversations. I have been through a long relationship breakup, and it's very, very hard to set those boundaries, especially if you don't end on, you know, hating each other terms. When you end on decent terms, it's, for one, it's really unhealthy for you to talk, because most of the time during the breakup, you say all that you really needed to say. Sometimes some people need closure, and so additional conversations will need to be had, which is perfectly fine. But understanding that at first there cannot be a friendship is vital for your healing. I honestly had to learn this the hard way. I'm a type of person who is very forgiving, and so I want to like put things behind me right away and preserve friendships, but sometimes that isn't okay for you. You know, it's, you have to understand what your own boundaries are as well and what you need to heal. And you're going to need the space, again, especially for that rebirth phase. Since you're recreating yourself, it's very important that you learn to exist without them being a part of your life. And again, once you have those boundaries clear with yourself, then you can pursue a friendship if that's what you want, if that's what you can have. Some people would rather not have them in their lives at all. It just really depends on what you see for yourself. After discussing the boundaries with them and, you know, making clear, hey, we're only going to call each other, you know, shortly after if we need to have those conversations, but afterwards we're going to kind of let each other go our own way. If we have family in common, you know, because after many years, family tends to grow on each other, you know, on each other's families. And so creating those rules is really important during that conversation, or at some point, you know, shortly after the breakup, to make sure that it isn't a problem later. There is also another point to be made, which is that of having a support system. It is vital. You need to have a support system, whether it is your friends or your family, but you need someone there or your people there to remind you, you know, why you did this, how you're going to grow, that it's okay and that you're going to survive this, because ending long-term relationships can be crushing to your existence in every way. Your entire routine changes, your life changes in a very drastic way and very suddenly. So it's very important that you have people that you can recruit to, that you can go to for, you know, kind of like moral support and encouragement, and surrounding yourself with positive and motivating individuals is going to be vital to your healing process and to endure this experience, because it will be hard, you know, accustoming yourself to the little things. People don't talk about these things, but the breakups are so hard for the little things. You suddenly don't have the person you've slept with for so many years, you know, sleeping on an empty bed, and that's one of the hardest things to do, but it's not impossible, and at some point you become used to it. But if you have a friend, you know, that you can count on them, you know, like I've had my best friends, people that honored me with their presence, that allowed me to go to them, to have a phone conversation before I went to bed because I couldn't sleep at night, to hang out with me during the day because I wasn't used to eating a meal alone. All of these things, they're so important. So it's vital that you create a support system. And as I said, it'll be difficult, but there are coping mechanisms. And that leads me to another point, which is basically creating a schedule for yourself, a busy one where you're exploring new routines and you're kind of filling your day with things that will occupy you, right? They'll keep you busy. But hopefully they're not just, you know, routine-like things like work. During this time, especially as you're entering, you know, that phase, the rebirth phase, hopefully you are reevaluating who you were before the relationship started. Further, who you were even as a kid, who did you dream about being? Who did you always want to be? And how did this relationship deviate you from that? Take a step back and kind of decide who you want to be as this clean slate has opened up for you, because it is. It's that. As painful as change may be, and as painful as losing the relationship may be, understand that it's also a clean slate, an opportunity to start from scratch building something you've always dreamed of. It's all about the mind frame that you go into this with. You don't have to look at it as, I lost them, or even as, they lost me. It's just an opportunity to start over, to take control of your life. And if it kills you to think, oh, I'm never going to be with this person again, then don't say that to yourself. Just understand that this is now, this is what you needed now, and you don't know what's going to happen in the future. If you need to tell yourself that you're never going back, then fine. Let it be whatever it needs to be in that moment, but give yourself that time to grow for yourself, to learn who you are and who you want to be, and to take the time to grow into that person. I would say explore new avenues for your identity. Do all of the things that you've always wanted to do but didn't, because in one way or another the relationship was consuming you. We have to sacrifice a lot of our individual identity to endure in a long-term relationship. You know, a lot of the times, I mean, that is what a relationship is, honestly. You're always compromising, and that's a beautiful thing, but a lot of the times we compromise things that are vital to our identity. So again, this goes back to just reevaluating that, what aspects of yourself you had lost or maybe never gained and now you want to pursue, and become a relentless advocate for your own happiness. This is important. If you always wanted to dance, find a dance group. If you always wanted to do makeup, go, you know, enroll in cosmetology school, like, do it. There is absolutely nothing holding you back. This is your time. And I think that it's really important that, especially single mothers, the breakup is your own, right? It's yours and that other adult's. It has nothing to do with the kids. And I think this is something that women struggle with a lot, because many a times men tend to disappear, you know, even for the kids. And I think that as difficult as it is, it's vital that you fight for them to have that
as angry, and I understand this because I've lived this with my parents. A lot of the times I feel like out of anger and frustration, they back away, and women allow them to as well because they don't want to deal with them. But it's really important that for your own well-being and for the kids that you fight for them to have that time with them, because you need time for yourself. As a single mother, you need to recreate the same identity. If you're okay, then your kids are going to be okay. But if they see you again down and sad and not empowering yourself, it's going to reflect on them. So it's vital that you don't feel guilty for fighting for them to be away from you. Again, it's not as if you are looking to abandon them, to, you know, disregard them. It's for your well-being and ultimately for theirs, and you shouldn't feel guilty for that. They should be with their fathers the equal amount of time that they are with you. It's very important that we start normalizing that. The mother should not be more responsible for kids than their fathers. It should be an equal responsibility. And again, if in doing this, you will allow the time that you need for yourself to heal, because while caring for others, it's very hard to tend to our own wounds. And although it's a very gratifying experience is to be a mother and to always sacrifice yourself, you can lose yourself to the point where you've disregarded your own needs for so many years that you get to an old age and look back and realize that you never really did the things that you wanted to do, that you never really became the woman you wanted to be. Yes, you were a good mother, but your kids went off and made their own lives, and here you are, you know, an older woman with no one left to take care of, and all you know is to do is take care of other people. Like, that cannot be. We need to be a little bit selfish and tend to our wounds so that we may be better individuals and be better mothers, and in the end, look back and say, I took care of myself and also managed to take care of my kids and gave them the best life because I was okay to do so. And again, this is very important. Also, if you have hopes of being in a new relationship, a lot of times when we get out of a relationship, we can't even imagine being with another person. We don't want to. You feel rejection towards everybody else. You don't even want to imagine the process of starting over. But that's the thing, is that you don't have to. You don't have to make this journey about, oh, starting over with another person. You don't even have to think about, you know, beginning a new relationship. This is your time for you. And in the process, when you're healed and you're ready, if the opportunity presents itself, you will be in a position to make better choices for yourself, to identify, you know, those unhealthy behavior patterns and choose individuals who only better your being, better your state. I feel like when you're in the right mind frame and you're your greatest advocate, you know, for right treatment, for happiness, for growth, for evolvement, you're not going to allow people who don't appreciate this about you to stunt that. You'll be more fierce, you'll be more defensive of your well-being. And this isn't a bad thing. A lot of people criticize women who know what they want, that they're too picky, that they're too this or too that. But no, there's nothing wrong with knowing what you want. And when the right person comes along that isn't asking you to sacrifice this and that about yourself, you will be able to recognize it. And so if you choose to want to engage in a new relationship, it will be with somebody who appreciates you, who's not perfect, because no one is perfect, but who puts your well-being and your happiness above all things. And hopefully you'll do the same for them, and then you'll have the opportunity for a healthier, better functioning relationship that serves you both equally. So again, there will be two phases to this. You're grieving, and they will be happening simultaneously. That's the very curious thing, is that you're going to have moments where you're very, very happy with your growth, with the opportunity that life has presented you in what felt like the death of something else. You know, there was a birth of this new opportunity, but understand that it will be simultaneous, that time will pass, months will pass, years will pass, even for some people, and you'll feel okay, and then you'll have moments of grievance, and that's perfectly okay. You can miss someone and not go back. You can miss a relationship and not need to be in it. Just look back, allow yourself to look back, allow yourself to mourn. Understand that it is not just the end of a relationship, it is the death of an identity. Because when you merged with that person, everything about your life reflected them being in it. Your future dreams reflected them being in it. And so it's the death of all of those emotions, those dreams, those visions, the way that you viewed yourself. And so you will have moments of mourning, of grieving. They will be random. A lot of the times, without even realizing what the date was, what was going on, I had moments of deep sorrow and sadness, and I couldn't figure out what it was, because I was doing fine. My life was moving forward. I was making the changes that I wanted in my life. I was growing. I was successful in all the ways that would normally be counted, but I would have these moments of sadness, and then I would look at the calendar and realize, oh, you know, an anniversary just passed, or, oh, it's so-and-so's birthday, or, you know, things like that. And so understand that it will take your body time to heal from the trauma, to unaccustom itself to the traditions that you created over so many years. And eventually, so much time will pass, so much growth will occur, that that once relationship, that once life, will feel like so many lifetimes ago. It will feel like an entirely different period of your life. Something so far yet so near and dear, because we have our memories. And when you do turn the page, it can be something that you choose to remember fondly, or you choose to remember all the bad experiences to remind you, you know, why you can never go back. It will serve you as you need it to. And it will guide you. But you must be open to learning from the experience, making the most of it. So as I said, you'll grieve, but you'll also be celebrating. You know, the rebirth of this new person, this stronger and wiser individual that you will have become. You will be welcoming people who come in with the best interest in mind for you, people who appreciate you. It's really a beautiful time. It's hard, but it's a great time to do all of the things that you've always wanted to do, right? And become the person you always wanted to become. I really suggest, just little things that helped me were waking up to motivational text, listening to empowering music instead of, you know, songs that had been dedicated, because sometimes we can be masochist. We will sit there and torture ourselves listening to songs that were, you know, and not wanting to go out. I mean, if you need to go out and socialize, fine. But be very careful with what you use to heal yourself. Understand that you're in a very, very fragile moment when you're going through a breakup, and that everything that you're feeding your mind and your body is ultimately going to shape your growth and shape your healing experience. If you go off, and a lot of people basically submit themselves to this experience of a numbing experience, it's basically like going out and partying and partying and partying to avoid being alone with your feelings and your thoughts. And they call it a numbing experience. And so basically it has the same effect as drinking your feelings away. Technically you don't. Almost always it actually heightens them. But the issue is that instead of dealing with the trauma and dealing with the pain, you're quieting it down and it doesn't go anywhere. It's just energy, that bad energy that festers in you and then ends up coming out in different areas of your life with people who you do care about, or maybe you enter a new relationship and you just pass them the trauma. So it's really, really important that we learn to face the pain and the damage that has been caused by the relationship, and that you heal it, that you do the work, so that you don't hurt the people that you love most and people who really will come into your life looking to give you their best. It's important that we learn to honor them by being alone with ourselves and taking that time to heal. I hope this helps. You know, anyone who's going through a breakup, and knowing that you're not alone, that those small moments of pain, those very small details that are crushing, they will pass, they will cease. At one point, you will enjoy your own company. You will enjoy life again. You will be able to smile. The heaviness that you feel in your chest will go away. It will start to soften. You will start to soften. And if you allow yourself, you'll begin to look at life in a miraculous way again and enjoy the beauty that it has to offer. And you will love yourself like never before, but you have to work at it. And it's every single thought counts, every single one. Don't allow yourself to think, I wasn't enough. There was something wrong with me. Don't allow yourself to think that you could have done better. You did what you could with the experience and the wisdom that you had. And so these moments, these growing pains, are so that you don't repeat the same mistakes if you felt that there were mistakes made. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to be treated well. And you deserve to demand that from your partner because you're willing to give the same. Not because you're selfish and demanding in a way that is irrational. It's not irrational to ask for what you're willing to give. If the person isn't willing to give it to you, it's because you're not with the right individual, or perhaps not with them in the right moment. So I just want to remind you to become the most fearless and relentless advocate of your own happiness and well-being. No one is going to fight for you like you could. No one is going to know what you need in order to be happy and to be well like you do. That wraps this episode up. Gracias por escuchar. Hasta la siguiente vez, mujeres.